Okay, our first scripture reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12, and can be found in the Old Testament on page 191 in your Pew Bible. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land. Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it all with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the mourning period of Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. And all his mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of powers that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And you can find it in the New Testament on page 203 in your Pew Bible. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of wisdom. I'm in the wrong one. I'm in the second letter. Hold on. I gotta go back to the first letter. I knew I didn't read this before. Okay, I'm gonna start
over.
That
was a good passage too.
Yeah, but that's not the one you're going to talk about. Okay, starting over. I'm in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Nobody said anything. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we have already suffered and have been shamelessly mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed. Nor do we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So we deeply care for you, that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was towards you believers. As you know, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you, and pleading that you live a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
Our gospel reading continues through the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22. Today we pick it up in verse 34. You find it on page 25 of the New Testament. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.